I'd like to welcome Beth Serdut. She is a visual storyteller, and she's going to be teaching a class called Critter Tales, Yours, Mine, and Ours, on February 18th at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum Education Annex from 9:30 in the morning until noon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
It's lovely to be here, Mary Charlotte.
It's great to have you. So, telling stories about animals, that's what you're basically leading people to learn how to do.
What I'm doing is I'm inviting people to come, and we'll do the stories as a round robin. And I'm looking for everyday storytellers as opposed to the traditional Native American tales that we hear here. They're wonderful, but everybody's got a story. And when somebody tells a story about an experience they have, especially with a wild animal, you learn more about the person than you do about the animal.
Absolutely.
And everybody's got a story.
It's interesting. I read one when I very first started doing this show more than 5 years ago. I had somebody on who'd compiled a book of essays about dogs. And what I learned from reading that is that dogs never change, and therefore there's never any character development, and therefore they don't really make very good characters in a story, whereas the people around them kind of do.
Yes, definitely. I used to live in Florida, and I spent more of my time paddling amidst alligators and birds than hanging out with people. I spent 3 years on the Myakka River. So I started writing stories about what I saw on the river, and I could read you one.
Well, why don't you do that? I'm terrified already.
Do I look like an adrenaline junkie to you?
I cannot tell. Ladies and gentlemen, she's wearing cute little red glasses and a very pretty scarf, which we think that she painted herself. And she doesn't look like you, but I can't tell.
Okay.
If anybody paddled among alligators for 3 years on purpose to me, well, go ahead.
Read. Okay. Well, in celebration of Darwin's birthday, I want to read
which is today, ladies and gentlemen, 200th birthday.
I want to read you a piece called Darwin Should See This. When I write pieces on my blog, my artwork always accompanies it, so I usually have a piece and then talk a little bit about the painting that goes with it. So I do invite people to go to the blog, which is bethserdut.com, and we'll spell my name out later. So, Darwin Should See This. I didn't hear any screams, so I guess the idiot and the gator survived. Before I tell you about that, let me explain about my painting, Circe's Dating Pool. In mythology, Circe turned amorous sailors into swine. In Florida, aging boys litter the dating sites with pictures of themselves holding up big hogfish as romantic bait. To me, the move from Circe's swine to hogfish in dating seems a reasonable metamorphosis. So, moving from the ocean to the river, here's the story of the idiot and the gator. A curious gator, maybe 4 feet long, leaves the shore and swims quickly towards our canoe. As soon as he's close enough to figure out what we are, he swims parallel to the boat. The birds have gone silent, and instead of their song, suddenly we hear some recidivist rehab diva's voice scratching nature till it bleeds. The young gator submerges, now invisible, as we round the bend where the air is suddenly scented with cigarette smoke. There's one man standing, well, sort of swaying in thigh-deep water, his white skin glowing in the tannin-dense river. One hand is conducting with a cigarette, and he's using a beer in the other hand as ballast. There's a gator heading in your direction, I call to him, and the idiot, showing off for his beer can buddies in their boat, yells, great, I'll go meet it. And he dives under the water right towards the gator. I ply my paddle deep and fast and saying to my companion, this could be a Darwin Award moment, and I don't want to see it. Just keep paddling. Far be it from me to get in the way of that guy's personal freedom. The Darwin Awards, by the way, are given, quote, to people who kill or sterilize themselves in really stupid ways, and in doing so, significantly improve the gene pool by eliminating themselves from the human race. You'd think that telling Gator and the Idiot stories would be cautionary tales, but a park ranger told me that there are people who emulate whatever bad behavior they hear. You warn them not to feed gators, and they start throwing hot dogs in the water. They might as well be tossing in their kids and canines. The sad thing is that any gator seen being fed is, quote, removed for future human safety, because an alligator not only comes to associate humans with food, but doesn't distinguish between the food and the hand that holds it. Potentially, you're just one big snack.
So you don't know what happened to the guy.
I didn't hear any screams. Remember, it starts out, I didn't hear any screams, so I guess the idiot and the gator survived.
Right, right, right.
Don't know. I don't know what happened to the guy.
So this is an example of writing about animals, which is really writing about people.
Yes.
And so when you teach people to write about or lead these workshops where they do this kind of writing, I imagine that you find things that they've really never written about or even considered writing about before.
The first time I taught this kind of workshop, and I think of it more as fostering than teaching. I came to the workshop, and it was for a group of writers, and there had been a miscommunication, so nobody showed up with any stories. I thought we were going to hone them. So, again, we were in Florida, so I said, so who's got a gator story? Well, of course, everybody had one. But the difference in the stories was a 72-year-old man who lived in a trailer park talking about a gator that reminded him of an old war buddy to an environmental lawyer-songwriter and his buddy telling a story that was completely politically incorrect about finding a gator on their way to North Carolina, picking up the gator, which was pretty big but not so big they couldn't fit it in their beer cooler, putting it in the cooler and bringing it over state lines, completely illegal. So just so their singing buddy could say to them, I'm thirsty, and they could say, there's a beer in the cooler. That was their gator story.
Oh, my Lord.
So,
again, did anybody get eaten?
No. No.
Now, you lived in Florida, and you paddled among alligators for years. Did you or anybody you know ever get hurt by an alligator?
No. No. There was a point where I was sitting in the canoe, and I counted 14 alligators around me. And about 48 vultures on shore. And to me, that's delightful because they're not, I wasn't doing anything stupid. I wasn't trying to feed them. I wasn't, there was only once in 3 years that an alligator saw me in the boat, came towards me at a right angle, and lunged out of the water chest high with its mouth open. And I think scared both of us, the gator and myself, because it seemed like he was going too fast, came out of the water, went, whoops, what have I done? And then he just went back under, and it was fine. And I keep saying he. The she is going to come after you to protect babies than anything else. But I came here because of the ravens.
Tell us about the ravens.
Well, I came to visit, and I was, as many people are, so enchanted by the layered palette of color. I'd always been by the ocean. I've lived in Hawaii. I grew up in New England. Water, water, water. And I came here, and I started watching the ravens. And I watched them play with each other. And, you know, the same time of day, there's some ravens around where I'm living now. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they go out for a party. And they fly together. They fly in tandem. And then they go apart, and they come back again. And we talk to each other.
You talk to the ravens?
Well, I imitate what they say. And when I do that, then we have this sort of call and response thing that goes on.
Of course, you don't know what you're saying, but they do.
Oh, I may be saying horrible things.
Exactly. It'd be like imitating somebody speaking Italian and swearing at you, and you don't know that you're swearing back.
Well, that's why I'm going to teach you Balinese before you go to Bali, so you know how to be polite. So I came here, and I started drawing the ravens, because that was the initial interest. And drawing them becomes a very intimate process. It's almost like watching them preen each other. The same intimacy of drawing a feather or an eye and getting it just right and getting the expression just right. But when I decided to do this project, I was still in Florida where I'd been for the 3 years. And for 3 weeks, every day that I drew ravens, a crow came to visit me and watch to see what I was doing. And if he couldn't find me, because I was on the front porch, he'd go to the back roof, which was tin, and he'd scratch and dance on it till I came out.
Say, Beth, come out.
Yeah, just to make eye contact, because they're extremely bright birds. And then there's been other things that happened along the way. It turns out that Raven is my birth month totem. I realized the other day that Edgar Allan Poe had the good grace to die on my birth date. So the ravens show up.
So, and that was something that felt that you connected with when you first came to New Mexico.
Absolutely.
So are you still writing about animals?
I'm still writing about animals. I'm still working on the Raven series. It's still in process, and it's an absolute delight. When I came here, thinking I was going to just be working on the ravens, I got seduced by the farmer's market and started a whole new color series called Art from the Kitchen, which ended up, it's on the current issue of Edible Santa Fe magazine, and the taste section of the New Mexican has printed my recipes, because what I've essentially been doing is doing paintings of my recipes.
Beth Serdut is a writer and artist, and her workshop is called Critter Tales, Yours, Mine, and Ours. And she's teaching that on Wednesday, or fostering people,
yes,
rather than teaching them, on Wednesday, the 18th of February, from 9:30 till noon at the Georgia O'Keeffe Education Annex. The telephone number over there is 505-946-1039. And you also have a website.
www.bethserdut.com. BethSurdut.com.
Well, it's been delightful having you here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
This has been a treat.
We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR.